Well, let's turn to God's word again this evening. We just turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to read verses 14 through to 21. And my text this evening will shortly follow from verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Well, let's sing together again and then we'll come back to that passage. 644. 644. "How vast the treasure we possess, how rich thy bounty, King of grace. This world is ours and worlds to come. Earth is our lodge, and heaven our home." 644. "How vast the treasure we possess, how rich thy bounty, King of grace. This world is ours and worlds to come. Earth is our lodge and heaven our home. All things are ours, the gift of God, the purchase of our Saviour's blood. While the good Spirit shows us how to use and to improve them too. If peace and plenty crown my days, they help me, Lord, to speak thy praise. If bread of sorrows be my food, the sorrows were Let's turn with God's help this evening then to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. A wonderful statement: to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I want us just to think of those things this evening. Let's ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we now open your word together. We have read it, and Lord, we have found encouragement and blessing in reading the word. But now, O Lord, as the word is preached among us, Lord, may your spirit in a marked way touch the preacher's tongue with a live coal from off the altar of heaven, and open the dear people's hearts, that the word before us will enter in deeply to be a great blessing. May it be food for their souls. We ask in Jesus' name, seeking your glory. Amen. I wonder how often you find yourself saying, in one way or another, "I'm not sure that I can." All sorts of situations. Or perhaps you say, "I can't, but I'll ask so-and-so. Perhaps they can." And then maybe you add a caveat, "though I'm not sure whether they will." We come into those sort of situations, don't we? Life is so full of uncertainties for all of us at every level. And amid the challenges and the uncertainties of life, how I find myself praising God more than ever for the precious certainties that are found in Scripture. Just read your Bible and pick out those things, brief statements such as this, that come to you and say, "This is a certainty. Lo, I am with you always." What a certainty in an uncertain situation. In the uncertainties of life, to come to God's word and hear him say, "My word endures forever." Or to come to another time and we say, and I open my Bible, and Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, says, "My God will supply all your need." The list is endless. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Great, wonderful certainties in an uncertain world for you and I. And we've got such a certainty here before us this evening. It's a tremendous statement. And we can say, can we not, in effect, "I know God is able. I'm not sure whether I can. I don't know whether someone else can, but I know God can." That's basically what this word is telling us. Remember, there was Mary. She has a visit from an angel, from the archangel Gabriel himself. And the angel says to her, "You're going to bear a son, Mary. You're going to bear a son, and it's going to be unusual. It's going to be miraculous. It's going to be glorious. You are not going to have a relationship with a man, but you're going to bear a son." And Mary, "How can it be?" And as part of the angel's reply, he says, "Just remember this, Mary. Nothing is impossible with God." That's the other side of the coin, isn't it? Paul is saying here, "I know God can. He can do far more than I can imagine." And the other side is that with God nothing is impossible. And I don't know your circumstances, I don't know your needs today. But I just want to encourage you tonight with this tremendous certainty that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask, above all that you can think, all you can imagine, according to the power that works in you. So let's just take this verse, virtually phrase by phrase. Let's just put some questions to it. Why is God able? Why is nothing impossible with God? It's a reasonable question. Why is God able to do exceedingly abundantly above you ask or whatever you ask or think? Why is nothing impossible with him? Well, we could take all evening with that. But let me just bring you three words. Three wonderful words. Nothing is impossible with God. God can, because first of all, he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. You know, the reason we often say, I can't, I simply cannot. Very often it's because we simply don't have enough strength to do it. That's a simple point, but it's real, isn't it? I haven't got the strength to do it. I can't, simply can't do it. But God can. Just think of him. At such times when you haven't got the strength, who created everything? God created all things. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that God created all things by the word of his power. And who is it that has upheld this universe? Who is it that has upheld all the things that he created? It is the same God. He not only created all things by the word of his power, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything hangs together. Everything works because God is in control. He is powerful. His word brought it into being. His word upholds it. And I love to think that in these days when there's so much gloom, so many gloom and doom merchants, that all things he brought into being by his power, he upholds them by his power, and he will bring time to a close by the word of his power as well. There won't be some great disaster that will end this world. There won't be some terrible climactic change that will see the end and demise of everything. God's got it under control. Oh, how I rejoice in that. That the moment will come. What will happen? Paul tells us, as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, those two letters to the Thessalonians, very much dealing with the end times and so on. But in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, this is how the world will end. The Lord will descend from heaven. How? With a shout. Can you imagine that? Can you just get your mind around that? This time, existence of time, the world will come to its conclusion with a shout from heaven. That's a word of power. By the word of God, with the voice of an archangel. There'll be a shout, and the speaker's unidentified there. There will be the voice of an archangel. There will be the trumpet of God. Who's in control of the end? God is. We have nothing to fear. God is in control. His word alone is all powerful. And if his word is powerful, surely he himself is powerful. Time and again, we read in the scriptures that our God is the Almighty God. All might is his. The song of glory sings in Revelation 15:3, Great and marvellous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Because our God is omnipotent, because he's the Almighty God. And this Almighty God is on the throne of the universe today. There's nothing that he cannot do. But then secondly, is he only all-powerful? No, God is omniscient. In other words, he is all-knowing. Do you come into situations? There's this particular issue, and there it is facing you. And you say, I simply don't know how to do it. I haven't got the knowledge. I haven't got the wisdom. I don't understand. You see, our knowledge and our ability to apply what we know is so deficient at times. Well, just remember this, that God does know and God does understand. God knows exactly what is happening. He knows how to deal with it. Indeed, he's already dealt with it in his purposes. God knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows everything about everything. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows it all. Take confidence tonight. Take heart. Be encouraged tonight. God has power. God has the knowledge and the wisdom. And then thirdly, God is omnipresent. In other words, he is everywhere. He is in all places. Ever said, I can't be in two places at once? I can't, you can't. And we start fretting, don't we? Well, I ought to be here and I need to be there and I want to be somewhere else, and you can't do it. But I know someone who can. God himself is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He is everywhere, all the time. You know, when it's like that and you say, well, I've got these two things and I can't be in two places at once, just remember that God is everywhere. He's not bounded by your limitations. He's not bounded by my limitations. He is the supreme multitasker, if you like. He doesn't have to stop doing one thing to do another. You don't have to make an appointment for him to come and to work. He's there already. We forget these great certainties, don't we? All too soon. And is there any wonder then that when we forget these certainties, we start spiraling downwards? And we start feeling hopeless and helpless. Oh, be certain of this. In the uncertainties of life, shout hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Praise God with Job that he does know the way that you take. And he's got a purpose and an end in view. And sing, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And where has he said it? In his word, which never passes away. In his word, which never changes. You can be certain in the most uncertain situations. But let's bring it a little closer to home. The Bible, the word of the Lord, endures forever and tells us that not only does God always answer our prayers, but when we pray, we then come to our text again. He is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Now, just look at the context of this verse. I just wanted to say those things because that lies behind. That's why I can get hold of this verse and it means something. God is powerful, God knows, and God is there. Therefore, he is able. But what is he able to do? Well, in the context, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he is writing in the context of prayer. verse 14 to 21. Just glance through the passage. He's asking for awesome blessings for these Christians in Ephesus. The blessings that he desires, particularly in verse 16 through to 19, exceed human understanding. He wants God, he wants the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant them, just listen to the extravagance of the language. He wants God to grant them according to the riches of his glory. Now wait a moment. That's the resources of God, his riches, the riches of his glory. That's infinite riches. He wants them to be strengthened with might through the Spirit of God in the inner man. He wants Christ to dwell in their hearts through faith. He wants them to be so rooted and grounded in love that they will be able to comprehend, listen to it, with all the saints, the expansiveness of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And he wants them to comprehend it. Can you ask for anything more than this? Furthermore, he wants them to be filled with all the fullness of God. His prayer is unimaginable. And having sought for these words, failure, I don't know how to describe them. Having sought for these things for these Christians in Ephesus, he now comes and he brings something even more stupendous. To him who is able to do exceedingly above all that I'm asking for you. I want him to do, he's able to do more than I'm trying to imagine for you. He says, this God who I'm asking these things, he can just do them. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far more than it all. Here is the extent of God's ability. We've thought of the ability of God. Now look at the extent of it. He is able to do, and just savour the expression, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. He's going right out of my league. He's going far beyond my grasp. And he seeks for it according to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in a Christian? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God that works in a Christian. A Christian, by definition, is someone in whom the Holy Spirit dwells and has dwelt in them to bring them to repentance and to faith and to obedience and to salvation. Something that's beyond us. He's asking for no more or no less than the power of the Holy Spirit to be so at work. Friends, what is God able to do? He's able to perform his word. He's able to perform his word. What is his word? In Romans 4, verse 21. Romans 4, 21. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Did you hear that? God is able to perform everything he has promised. The apostle has particularly got in mind there the great and precious promises. Beloved, tonight, there's not a single promise God has made that he cannot keep. Ever made promises And you fully intend to keep them. You're not making them lightly. You mean it. And the moment comes and you simply cannot do it. Not with God. Not with God. Not a single promise does he make that he cannot keep. Not a single undertaking does he give that he will not fulfill. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not make it good? Just think of the promises in God's word. He is able to keep them all. Can you count the promises in God's word? Think of those precious promises that God has sealed home to your heart. And he's able to fulfill them in a far better way than you thought or could imagine. He is able to aid the tempted. Yes, we know temptation. In that he himself suffered being tempted, he's able to succor, he's able to help, he's able to come alongside, and he's able to empathize with those who are being tempted. The Lord Jesus Christ has been there before you. Is there a temptation tonight? You say, I can't handle it. God can. 40 days and nights in the wilderness. Don't think that when the Lord was in the wilderness, we read about those temptations in a few minutes. He had 40 days and 40 nights before those three temptations, and he was being tempted by the devil all the time. Think of his testing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Think of the pressures of his trial. And yet, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he didn't open his mouth. He is now risen. He is now ascended to glory. And the Son of God is able to draw alongside us in the person of his Holy Spirit. And when we are tempted, he is able to strengthen and aid us and help and support us. Indeed, to bring us through it, dare I say it, with flying colours. He's able to perform his word. He's able to build us up. Yes, he's able to build us up. It was to the Ephesian elders that Paul spoke in Acts chapter 20. And he's taking his leave of them, and they know and he knows that they're not going to meet again. And so in Acts 20 verse 32, brothers, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Here are these Ephesian elders facing an uncertain future. They're not going to see Paul again. Well, what are they going to do without this great apostle to hold their hand and to teach them and instruct them? And then Paul says to them in verse 29, when I leave you, after my departure, there's going to be savage wolves coming among you. There's going to be deceivers coming among you, he says in verse 30. And they are going to try and weaken and destroy you and the church. And then he says, but his word, the word of his grace, is able to build you up. And more, it's able to make you stand. And it's able to subdue your enemies, whoever they are. In the uncertainty of the future, the prospect of those that are going to come in and try and destroy this young church in Ephesus, Paul says, God is able to keep you. God is able to build you up. God's able to strengthen you. And wasn't it to these Ephesians that he wrote those amazing words at the end of Ephesians 6? Therefore stand. And having done everything, stand. God has given you his word. God has given you the armor to protect you. Wear it. Read it. And you'll stand firm. God is able to do it. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace to abound towards us. And again, we've got extravagant language. That's just an amazing. Just turn to it very quickly. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. God is able. That's how the verse starts. But thinking of the ability of God, he is able. And listen to the extravagant language again. To make all grace. Well, that's beyond us. All grace. Abound. Abound towards you. He speaks that it will bring all sufficiency in all things. Do you see how large this statement is? It's huge. It's far more exceedingly abundant than I can grasp or even think about. All sufficiency in all things. That you may have an abundance for every good work. It's just beyond the mind, isn't it? But this is what our God is able to do. Jesus would have us be the light of the world as our good works glorify God. And how many times do we feel to fail and to be unable to shine? How does God fuel us? With his grace, which he makes to abound towards us, so that we have an abundance of every good work. Oh, as Paul says to the Philippians, my God, here's another certainty, my God will supply all your need. And he does it in a far more abundant way than we could ever dream of. His promises are sure. His help is certain and readily given. His strength becomes ours and his grace abounds towards us. What's your need tonight? God is able to supply it. And finally tonight, the greatest need of all of us. God is even able to save us. God is able to save us. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. God himself, against whom you and I have sinned, is able to do the greatest impossibility of all in the person of the second person of the Trinity, his only begotten and beloved Son. In fact, from our standpoint tonight, he's done it. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to that end. Have you been able to live and keep the requirements of God's law? He is able. He has done it. Are you able to bear the penalty for your sin and come through the other side? He is. He is able to take the place of sinners, and he did it on the cross. And there on that cross, what was he doing? He was bearing the penalty for our sin. He was shedding his precious blood in atonement. And only he was able to rise again for our justification. And if he is able to do that, then only he is able to save us. He saves from the uttermost. That's a lovely expression, save to the uttermost. I said from, but he does save from the uttermost. He saves from the uttermost because he went to the uttermost on the cross so that we should be brought into the uttermost of glory. That's what Jesus has done. Let me say that again. He went to the uttermost, the cross, in order to save from the uttermost those who are the furthest away from God in their sin, that they should be brought into the uttermost, into the presence of God himself. He's able to do it. He's done it for many of us. Has he done it for you? Who's he done it for? All those, says the letter to the Hebrews, who come to God through him. In other words, they leave themselves and their own endeavours to save themselves, which are abject failures. And they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they put all their hope and all their trust and all pin all their future on him and his work. And in his name and on the basis of his merit, they can then draw near to God. Oh, praise his name. He lives today to do this for all who do so. In the uncertainty of life, in the uncertainty of time, heaven can be certain for you and I, because he is able. How does Paul put it? He's possibly only a few hours, less than that perhaps, away from his execution. And what does he say? How certain he is. I know who I have believed. I am persuaded, and that word persuasion, I am absolutely certain. What? He is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He could say in the midst of life, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. And on the very threshold of eternity, he is able to bring me home. God is able. Oh, let's get hold of these certainties. Just go through your Bible yourself and look at the wonderful certainties there. Just little phrases. Is that a little phrase tonight? It's a huge phrase, isn't it? And I've hardly scratched the surface. Let's commit one another to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that in these troubled and uncertain times, Lord, you are the certain God who is able to keep us and to help us and do all that we need. And Lord, more than just being able to do it, you have undertaken to do it. You have promised to do it for those who are trusting in yourself. Lord, we trust you afresh tonight. Lord, be pleased to seal these thoughts home to our hearts, that we may be lifted up, perhaps, not with pride, Lord, but lifted up in humility. Lord, the world wouldn't understand a phrase like that. But Lord, we can be lifted up in humility with confidence that our God is able. So we commit one another, we commit our circumstances, we commit the life of our churches, we commit our country, we commit all these things into your hands. for you alone are able, and we are looking to you, Lord. We cannot, you can, and we praise you tonight, in Jesus' name.